I cannot make a significant difference in this world.
And I refuse to believe that my actions can impact the lives of those around me.
I know without a doubt that God has not given me anything to offer.
It's foolish to think that what I do with my time and resources matters.
I possess something the world needs is a lie.
My life is of little consequence.
All of this is true unless I allow God to reverse my thinking.
My life is of little consequence is a lie. I possess something the world needs.
What I do with my time and resources matters.
It is foolish to think that God has not given me anything to offer.
I know without a doubt that my actions can impact the lives of those around me.
And I refuse to believe that I cannot make a significant difference in this world.
Yeah, isn't that great? Isn't that good news? Don't we know that to be true? Welcome to part four in our final installment of this series, Be Rich. And as I always like to do this part of our service, let me just pause right here and acknowledge and welcome those that join us oftentimes very regularly by way of online technology. We're so glad to have our online campus with us. Can we welcome everybody here? We're so glad to have you along for the ride. Yes. Let me just say something you did not hear about in that Crosspoint news, and that is that we have this thing called small groups around here because we believe that real life change happens in the context of relationships, authentic relationships, life-giving relationships, and we're just now concluding our fall semester of small groups, and I just want to give a big shout-out to all of our small group leaders and all of those that really participated in small group. Come on, we're so thankful for you and the things that we hear are happening through our small group venue, and it's just good things. We'll be having a new semester that'll start after the first of the year, after we do our 21 days of prayer at the beginning of the year like we always do, and we'll be ready to launch a new spring semester of small groups. It's just great. I just love small groups. I'm about people, love people, about relationships. And so really want to just thank Pastor Steve Guptill and his leadership as our small groups pastor and all he does. Come on, yeah, give a shout out to Pastor Steve. Awesome, awesome. I want to jump right into this series. I want to begin with our theme verse that we've been using for this series. You have message notes there in your worship guide that you can follow along, fill in some blanks with us. If you're watching online, those notes are available at our website at crosspointworshipcenter.com. Right now you can download those and follow along with us. And so let's jump right into this. So let's look at our theme verse that's found in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 and 19. And Paul is really speaking to Timothy and encouraging him how to pastor people and instructing him as to what he needs to be teaching, the message he needs to be conveying to them, which is what I'm doing. I'm sharing with you what I believe God's Word teaches us regarding this subject. And so he's telling them how to do this. And the way he puts it is pretty strong. He begins with the word command. He says, command, if you don't like that, just I want to encourage you to do this. But command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant nor to put their hope in wealth. Now, right off the bat, you may be thinking, well, I'll sit this one out because I'm not rich. But as we broke out and unpacked the first installment of this series, we discovered really that we're all rich in some way, in some area. Rich actually just means I have more than I need. And so in some area, we have more. We're blessed. We live in America. If you make at least $44,000 a year, you're in the one top percent of the world as far as income wages for household wages. And so we're very blessed. And whether it's in money or whether it's otherwise, we all know Jesus Christ. And so, listen, he's more than enough. And we have something to share, to give to other people, right? And so we are all rich, and we came to recognize, yes, that we are rich. That includes all of us. But the instructions there are for us not to be arrogant, and so that means that sometimes rich people don't think right. So we talked about how we need to think right, to do right, and that so we've got to think about this in the right way. We know that actuality, we realize that a lot of times when people's wealth increases, their giving decreases, which should actually be the opposite. And so what happens is when people begin to get rich, they become arrogant and begin to put their hope in wealth. And so Paul is saying to Timothy, that is so uncertain. And the instructions are to put our hope in God, right? We're to put our hope in God, and who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Look at that word, enjoyment. So that means that, you know, this idea that, well, God just wants me to give everything away and live in a box, it really is not biblical. God gives us stuff for us to enjoy, but he doesn't just give us stuff and stop there for us to enjoy, for our enjoyment, but he also wants us then to be a blessing. He blesses us with a purpose for us to then be a blessing to other people, to give to other people, and so in various forms. And so he goes on to say in verse 18, command them to do good and to be rich. So to do and to be, okay? So be rich in good deeds and be generous and willing to share. We talked about that, how that there needs to be a willingness. So it's not manipulation. It's not external, you know, somebody putting together a slick video to try to manipulate you and tug on your heartstrings, and it's all out of emotion. And while emotions are good, it's got to be more than that. There's an internal motivation on the inside of us. There's a change on the inside of us where our heart desires to give. In other words, there's a new nature. And when you think about it, it's God's nature. Because the nature of God is he is a giving God. For God so loved the world that he gave. Right, everybody? And so when we receive Christ, there's a new nature on the inside of us where we want to give. One person in the Bible said, it's like a fire shut up in my bones. I can't contain it. I got to give it away. I got to share it with somebody. And so there's this willingness to share. Verse 19 then goes on to say, in this way, they will lay up, who will do that? Those that get this right, that understands what this thing is really all about and lives life in this way that we've been talking about, in this way they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. So when we live it this the way that God intended us to live it, there is a joy. There's a joy in sowing. There's a joy in making a difference. That's one of the things that we emphasize as a church. We want people, four things. We want people to know God. We want people to find freedom. We want people to discover their purpose. And now that you know your purpose and why you're here, then together, come on, let's make a difference for eternity's sake. Amen? And so we see that we're doing all this to make a difference. And here's what I want to remind us as a church. And that is that we do not exist for ourselves. We exist for others. And your life will never have really true fulfillment and true purpose until you realize that fact. In fact, if those of you at UNC Charlotte or in college or in school might have studied Maslow's hierarchy of human needs. And the highest pinnacle of that, they call it transcendence, which is that thing that we get to when we realize the most fulfilling point is when we are making a difference in somebody else's life, when we're giving it away, right? Not just hoarding it for ourselves, but we're giving it away, we're making a difference with our life. And so what we're doing as a church, we exist not just for us to come together and have a holy huddle on Sunday, right? And bless me and make me feel good and go home roast beef. Come on, there's more to it than that. There is more to it than that. We exist for others. We are here not to serve ourselves. We're here to serve others. Come on, isn't that what Jesus said? I've come not to be served, but to serve. Amen? That's what God's called us to do. So therefore, we're going to leverage everything we receive, everything we have. We're going to leverage all of that for the kingdom of God. So the theme of this series, if we get the whole theme of this, is really, let me give you this statement. And that is that God has blessed me with more than I need so that I can make an eternal difference in the lives of others. Are we getting that? All right? So we need to get that. And you say, well, why are you taking a whole series to talk about this? And why is this important? Because, listen, our thinking oftentimes is wrong, and our thinking needs to be right. Around the holiday season, this is a time of a lot of giving and we have an opportunity to impact the world around us, the people that work around us, the people that we live next to. And so Here's the thing. When we understand this concept, you'll realize that, again, the Bible, it is true what the Bible says, and that is that it is more blessed to give than to receive. It truly is. It's more of a blessing to give than it is to receive. And you'll find yourself, when you understand that concept, and that becomes a part of who you are, that you're a giver, not a taker, it'll change everything. You will not complain as much as you normally do during the season. I'm convinced of that. You know, we like to complain. We're so blessed. Let's just take the word out, blessed, and say we're so rich. We're so rich. I mean, some of you, you know, you get on an airplane, right? And you're flying like how many 30,000 feet up, right? And you're on this plane, and you're complaining because you're not getting to where you need to get in time. Now you're in a plane going how many hundreds of miles an hour? I don't know. And then you're in a chair in the air. Come on, think about this. Rich people problems. You're in a chair in the air. You're in a chair in the air, and then you're trying to do the internet. And the internet slows down. And you're upset because the internet is not working fast enough. Come on, what do we call that? First world problems, or just, you know, rich people problems? And so think about this, though. When we understand that we're here not just to serve ourselves, we're going to have an attitude of gratitude. And I believe the attitude this attitude of gratitude and generosity should not be one of guilty. Okay, God doesn't want us to be guilty because we're blessed. You know, those rich, filthy Americans that got so much they need to give it all away. Listen, no, I don't think. Listen, God's blessed us, but He's blessed us with a responsibility. He's okay with you having stuff as long as stuff doesn't have you, and He's okay with you having stuff as long as you understand the principle that He's blessed you, not just to bless you, but to bless you to be a blessing to others, right? And so, understand this, write this one down, this isn't in your notes, but God doesn't want us guilty, He wants us responsible, right? So God's blessed you, and He's giving you more so that you have something to give to others. But I want us to go back to the original text. I want to break this down even a little bit further today. And I want us to see some things that really the last part of this text that where Paul is talking to Timothy is really a motivation, I believe, and the understanding of this is a key concept. And actually, Paul tips his hand really at the beginning of this text. But go back, if you would, to 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17 once more. Now, Paul says, command those who are rich in this present world. Now, hold it right there. Now, did you catch that? Did you catch what he's saying there? He says, in this present world. And that's the key, in this present world. So, as if to say, is there any other world? Well, actually, there is. There is another world. So Paul's kind of alluding to what's going on here. He says, command those who are rich in this present world. Then he says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant or to put their hope in wealth, which is, look at this, so uncertain. So the stuff in this world is so uncertain, right? It's shifting. It changes. It vacillates. You're up one day and down the next. Things are uncertain in this world. But to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. And so then he goes on to say, command those to do good, to be rich in deeds and to be generous and willing to share. So there's a response. Then how do we respond? Understanding, how do we live this life? We're to be generous. And then he says, look what he says, 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 19, he sets it up, transition verse here, he says, in this way, okay, in this way, now things begin to change is what he's talking about here. Verse 19, he says, in this way they lay up for themselves, who? Those that get this concept to understand that it's not just about the uncertainties of this world. It's not just what's going on in this present world, but there is something further that's going to happen, something else happening. Those that get that, they understand that when they give, that it's not just about what's happening in this world. In this way, they lay up for themselves treasures, right? They lay up treasures for themselves. So it doesn't make sense then if I've got stuff just to give it away. I'm just giving it away. No, you're not just giving it away. You're actually relocating it. You're relocating it, right? Because he says, in this way, they lay up for themselves treasures and as a firm foundation, look at this, for the coming age. For the coming age. Guess what, folks? There's a coming age. There's a day coming, right? There is a day coming. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, that's okay, but there's still a day coming, okay? There is a coming day that we are preparing ourselves for. And we've just got to understand this. In this life, this life is a preparation for the next life. I want us to get this. It's a preparation for the next life. The vast majority of our life is not on this side of life, it's on the other side of the life by far. In fact, the Bible says that this life is just a vapor. It's just so short. It's just a mist, the Bible calls it, even just a mist of time. But there is another life coming. You can hear it throughout Jesus' teaching all the time. The disciples came to Jesus depressed and discouraged, and his response was, well, you know, then you need to work harder in this. No, he says, in my Father's house are many mansions. Come on. He directs them. He redirects their focus from the temporal to the eternal. He even went on to say that don't be afraid of those that can destroy the body. So you put a lot of emphasis on going to the doctor and getting things fixed and working in this body, and that's okay, but this body is only temporary. And he says, don't fear the one that can destroy the body, but fear the one that can destroy both the body and the soul in hellfire. That's what Jesus said, right? So he's always refocusing them on there's more to this life. And many times in his teaching, what did he end with? Well, great is your reward in heaven, right? Great is your reward in heaven. So I want us to be eternally focused today. And what is so important. So if that is so true then, that our investment in this life is not just a temporary investment, but it's an investment, those things are eternal, then how then do we live our life? How then does our life become generous? Can I just encourage you today that sometimes our generosity is actually very sporadic. You know, it's not planned. We don't have a plan. It's not intentional. You know, if a slick video moves us, you know, with a crying child, or a puppy, or whatever it is, you know, then we'll respond. But our giving needs to be intentional. We need to have a strategic plan so that you already know ahead of time, you got a plan, you know how you're living your life, you know how you're structuring things, you know what area you can give from, you know what area you have more in, and you're strategic in living your life. So the question then needs to be, what is my giving strategy? What is my giving strategy? And I would just encourage you, my strategy doesn't have to be your strategy. So everybody may have a different means of way of giving, okay? So we're not going to judge other people and look at their wealth and say, well, I'm judging them because they got that and they should be. No. Everybody's just going to take care, right? Come on. Take care of what, be responsible for yourself and do what God has called each of us to do. Why? Because there is more to life than this life. Write that down, please. There is more to life than this life. So what is my giving? Let me give you some suggestions of, I believe, what would be a good strategy to think about. Three areas. Number one, I will intentionally share my resources. Okay, let's just get this real. I'm going to be real practical with this. I'm going to intentionally share my resources. I mean, I want to leverage everything. And that's not, you know, it doesn't have to just be money, okay? You know, if you got that cookie dough, you know, that chocolate chip cookie dough, you know, in the tube thing at Christmas time, you know, that you want to just sit down and eat raw, you know, don't cook it, just eat the dough, you know? But instead of just hoarding it all for yourself, now you're going to invite some kids over from the neighborhood and you're going to share some cookie dough. I know that's kind of silly, but you're going to leverage and you're gonna, in Jesus' name. You know what I'm saying? And you're gonna say, I just wanna give this to you. I just wanna share this with you because, you know, we care about you and we leverage things for the kingdom of God, right? Just whatever it is, whatever that looks like. So in other words, I'm not gonna come to church and be driven just by emotions and all those things, but I'm gonna pre-decide. And I'm gonna encourage you. With that, because it's, and again, it's what you give, it may be different what somebody else gives, but I believe that depending on what our income is, it may be different from person to person. So it's not equal giving, but it's equal sacrifice. Does that make sense? Okay. Let me give you a scripture, not in your notes, 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 2. Jesus said, on the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income. So, in other words, I've got a plan, okay? And we set that aside so we know ahead of time. Saving it up so that when I come, no collection will have to be made. I said, Jesus, this is Paul, okay? But, so he's saying there should be a plan in place. There should be some thinking that through. I'm gonna give you some suggestions. Again, these are suggestions. I would encourage you to become a percentage giver. Become a percentage giver. You know, decide what you're gonna give. Now, the Bible has a recommendation. It's called the tithe, which is 10% of our income. I believe God's more concerned about where He places in our life than the percentage, because I believe it's putting Him first. But I would encourage you, I think that's a biblical model. I would encourage you with that. We see that in the Old Testament, also in the New Testament as well. I would encourage you, though, to be a percentage giver. And let me just say, if your income goes up, I believe the percentage should go up too. I'm just saying, instead of being less. In fact, the Bible says where we've robbed Him, it's in tithes and offerings. So it's not just enough. I think we should give Him more than enough, right? I think we should bless, right? And so, and we're going to give and to the place where it's going to make an eternal difference. I believe that's the storehouse that becomes the church that then makes a difference throughout the world. And I could break that down and tell you how many ways that we're doing that here as a church. Every time you give, it's going local, it's going state, it's going national, and it's going global. Amen. And so I thank God for what far reaches of the church and what we're able to do and investing that in ways that render an eternal dividend. Amen. And so, be a percentage giver. I'll just tell you this, that next week we're going to receive a legacy offering, which will not be, and again, we've got needs in the house, and as all churches do, but we're going to be giving away of that. We're going to take that legacy offering. We're going to give away outside of these walls. Come on, everybody, and make a difference. I want to make a difference in this place. I mean, I've shared this with you recently, but we're sitting in the zip code. This zip code that you're sitting in right now has the highest abortion rate in the entire state of North Carolina. Did you know that? So God has strategically put us here, and there's a ministry that we're going to be serving and working through and with by the grace of God, and we're working together in talks right now how we can make a difference in this area and see women's lives rescued and babies rescued in Jesus' name. Amen, everybody? So I encourage you with that. So next week we're going to receive a legacy offer. So think and pray about it and talk to your spouse about it and come with a plan of what you're going to give. I mean, it's kind of interesting. At Christmas time is a time where we get all these gifts and we're giving gifts to one another, but yet it's Christ's birthday, right? And so we're going to honor Him. We're going to bless and bless Him. Let me give you another way that's a tangible way to share your resources, and that's this thing called an Acts of Kindness card. We've got new cards, brand new today, made up, new look to them, and I encourage you to get some of those. When you came in, you had worship guides there as you came in. Now those have been replaced in those tables right back here with these cards. I encourage you to get some of those as you go. Get as many as you want. If there's not enough there, there's more at the connection table. And if there's not enough there, see somebody with a lanyard on. We'll get you more. If you want a whole handful and just go out and bless the socks off of somebody, how do you use these things? Come on, you just go through a drive-thru and just pay for the order behind you. Or, you know, when your bill is $50 at the restaurant, you're going to give a $40 tip, and they're going to say, I think you made a mistake there, sir. And they know, I just want to bless you in Jesus' name. But always connect it to God, right? Don't just waste connected to God and let them go to God loves them, and you would be amazed at the lives that have been changed. I've heard of people that were on the brink of suicide eating their last meal at a restaurant when they got one of these and turned their life around in Jesus' name, right? Amen. So I encourage you with that. In fact, I'm going to give you right now, get ready. I'm going to give you 22 ways that you can use this card. Are you ready? All right, better write fast or just whatever. Listen real fast. Number one, pay for somebody's gas. Two, keep a giveaway bag stocked with snacks, toiletries, and socks for the homeless you may encounter. Number three, take out the garbage for an elderly or handicapped neighbor. Four, leave an encouraging note or surprise in items you are donating, selling, or returning. Again, attach this with all of that. Number five, deliver fresh baked cookies to a neighbor or coworker. Six, bring fresh flowers to someone. Seven, offer to babysit for free. Eight, mow someone's yard for free. Nine, pay for someone's coffee behind you in the drive-thru. 10, pay for someone's fast food meal behind you in the drive-thru. 11, send a note of encouragement to someone. 12, give baked goods or a small gift. I love this. This is the most spiritual one of all. To a postman or delivery person. For those of y'all don't know, I'm bivocational. That's what, you know, I'm just a mailman. Okay. Number 13, leave a big tip for a server at a restaurant. 14, pay for someone's movie that is behind you in line. 15, help someone who you know is struggling financially. 16, pay for someone's meal or dessert at a restaurant. 17, bake cookies and take them to the police station, fire station, or hospital. Y'all have done that in this area. 18, take a box of donuts to a school, office, etc. 19, cook a meal for a coworker or a neighbor or coworker. 20, share your umbrella with a stranger. 21, help tutor a struggling student. 22, pay for someone's groceries that's behind you in line. There you go. Just some ideas. You may have your own, but use these, right? Use them and make a difference. What is that? That's using your resources. I'm just trying to get you to think outside of the box. That's using your resources. Let me give you another way. Number two, I will intentionally share my time. My time. And I would encourage you with something that we call around here the dream team. A dream team is people who have discovered their purpose and now they're on a team with other people that have discovered their purpose and it's in that same area and they're serving together to make a difference. And that can happen here on Sunday mornings. You can be on a team. I encourage some of you students, get on a team. We got a student right now I'm looking at that's in on our production team. He doesn't just want to come and do civil engineering at UNC Charlotte. He wants and play in the play in the 40, not the pride of the Niner Nation marching band. No, he wants to come across the street, across the Great Wall of 49, and be on the production team and make a difference. And he's the guy putting this stuff up here this morning. Come on, doing our lights and everything. Come on. So I encourage you, say, well, how do I do that? How do I get to do that? How do I get to hold a baby so that a mom can hear the gospel? And when I'm holding that baby and she receives Christ, I have part of that and I'm making a difference. How do I get on in the parking lot and greet cars and be the first impression when people drive up on our lot and at the door greeting people and come on, getting worship guides together and come on, I could just go down the list. How do I do that? It's called the growth track, everybody, the growth track. Start on it today. Step one is today. It runs every month, four parts to it, first Sunday, second Sunday, third Sunday, fourth Sunday. I encourage you with that. Get on the growth track and begin to make a difference. Let me just highlight one small group that we've put together. If I could just pull one out of the box here, and that's called Second Saturday Serve. I encourage you. I'm hoping that will roll again next semester. Okay, so get on Second Saturday Serve where you're coming on a Saturday. You're going to different places. It may be handing out water bottles on the greenway. I mean, it may be cleaning up somebody's yard. It may be helping, you know, fix somebody's front porch, maybe going to the hospital to visit somebody or prison to visit somebody, but we're going to do what, you know, we can do to make a difference and serve on, use your time and make a difference. Number three, let me give you a third one. I will intentionally share Christ. Share Christ. As long as heaven is real and hell is real, we have a job to do. So I encourage you to invite people to receive Christ. And you say, I feel a little awkward with that. Well, we'll help you with that Invite them to church, and we'll help you in that process as well. And I'm going to give you some opportunities to do that. We're in the Christmas season. Come on, we got some CEOs out there somewhere. I know we do. You know what CEOs are? Christmas, Easter only, right? Okay, so I'm just, but this is an opportune time to find people that would not ordinarily say yes, that will say yes during the Christmas season. And I would say encourage them, invite them to come with you and sit with you. Come on and hear a life-giving message. We've got a new series starting next week. It's going to be great. Three parts to it. It's a message that's going to be able just to communicate clearly the gospel of Jesus Christ and who he is, why he came, and the whole, everything that they need to hear to receive Christ. Invite them to come and be with you and sit beside you and hear a message. And so at the end of that, when their hand goes up and the tear comes down their face and they accept Christ, come on, you're gonna understand why it's more blessed to give than to receive when you invite them and they receive Christ. And so there's the candlelight service that's happening. You just heard the news on the evening of Sunday the 16th. And then we're going to have our communion service the Sunday morning before Christmas. Invite them to come and be a part of that. So we're called to make a difference, right? To be rich in good deeds. To be good, be rich in our generosity towards others. I'll give you a scripture found in Matthew chapter 6. Jesus puts it this way. He says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, but where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven." So he's saying, don't put all the emphasis on this temporary earth, guys. But relocate that stuff. Don't locate it just here. Locate it in heaven. Relocate it. You're not losing it. No, you're investing it. Let me tell you, the benefits, okay, this may be corny, but it's out of this world. I'm telling you. Just store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. Invest those things in heaven. In heaven. Let me give you another scripture. It's found in Luke chapter 12. And he told them this parable. He said, the ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns. I'll build bigger barns. So I'll close out these small accounts and I'll open a bigger account. And there I will store my surplus. Now that sounds real smart, doesn't it? Because he says, I've got this extra stuff. But it goes on to say, and I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Now there's a little bit of a miscalculation there. He knew he had plenty of stuff, but he didn't understand he doesn't have plenty of time. And he said, I'm going to take life easy. I'm going to eat, I'm going to drink, and I'm going to be merry. But God said to him, you fool. God called him a fool. This very night your life will be demanded from you. Now, he was a fool not because he had stuff, not because he understood the value of stuff, but it was time. Are you following this? He was a fool not for being rich, but not knowing what to do with his riches. And so, and this is kind of, this is God's word. We need to embrace this. Listen to this. This is how it will be for whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not. Let's go back. Let me go back to verse 20. But God said to him, "You fool! This very night your life will be demanded from you. Then, who will get what you have prepared for yourself? Because you can't take it with you. Y'all have heard it before. You can't. I've never seen a hearse or a pulling a U-Haul. Have y'all ever seen that? I've done a lot of funerals. I've never seen that. Okay, you can't take it with you. Even though I've heard of crazy stuff about people burying stuff in the coffin with them, it ain't going anywhere but in the ground. I'm just telling you right now. And then he goes to verse 21. This is how it will be for whoever stores up things for themselves. I want more for myself. But is not, get this, rich toward God. Not rich toward God. I just want to tell you, as a pastor, I care about you guys deeply, and it's important I teach this. It's important that we understand what it means to be rich toward God. And the only way we can be rich towards God is to realize that this life is not about this life. You follow me? So we need to figure out how we're to live this life, how we're to use this time that we have, how to move as much of this life to the next life through our giving, through our time, through our hugs, through our cards, through our acts of kindness cards, through our texting, come on, through whatever means we have that we're showing the love of God, that we're moving people from this temporary life to eternity. Because listen, it's all about people. Because this life is preparation for the next life. Now listen to this. This is what I believe we as a church need to have as our values. Because this life is preparation for the next, I will value, and I'm going to talk about three things here very quickly. I believe these are values that we need to embrace. And that is, I will value stewardship over ownership. Write that down. Stewardship over ownership. It's simply put, God owns it all. And when we can understand that, God owns it all. Not just 10%, He owns 100%. Right? And so if God owns it all, I'm not the owner, I'm just the manager. And so it's upon me to manage what God has given me, what God has blessed me with. And it's important, since He's the owner, that I do it in a way that pleases Him, not the way that pleases me. I've been bought by a price. Everybody, we've been bought by a high price, the blood of Jesus. God purchased us for Himself, purchased us out of slavery into freedom, out of death into life, everybody. He has given us life through Jesus Christ. I belong to Him. I don't belong to myself or to this world or to anybody else. I belong to Jesus. And so I need to live my life in such a way that everything I do is to please Him, right? A second value is this: I will value people over possessions. Possessions burn, people last forever. So when we understand that it's about people, when we understand it's about helping women who are in trouble and pregnant or sex trafficking or people on drug addictions and all the things that we're trying to help people with, and we understand that, then when we see that offering bag come by, it's not just an offering bag coming by, it's people coming by, right? It's people that were, amen, come on, that's all right, give God praise for that, that's the truth, right? So, and you got to be careful with this, because if you don't love money, well, let me put it this way. If you don't love people, you'll use money. Let me get this right. Give me a second. If you don't love people, I'll get this right. If you don't, you'll love people and use money. Am I saying that right? If you don't understand that, you'll love people and use money. I'll be all right. You'll love money and use people. I'm trying to get that right. Are you getting that right? Help me. Help me, y'all. Help me, y'all. It's been a long week, all right? So if you don't, all right, y'all get it. Move on. Number three, the eternal over the temporal, okay? I will value the eternal over the temporal. The greatest deterrent to radical generosity is the illusion that earth is our home. It's not. And so let me give you this final verse here. Philippians chapter 3. Many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven. Therefore, look at this. We eagerly await a Savior. We eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. Guess what? Someday, He's coming back. Anybody believe that? He's coming back. And we need to live our life in a way that we're making an eternal difference. And we need to live our life in a way that we're preparing ourselves every day, for that other place. Amen? Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Some of you may be saying, well, all that's good and well, you know, I need to, but before I can give, before I can make a difference, I need to prepare myself. I'm not ready. I just want to encourage you today. The most important thing in this life, again, is not this life. It's where you're going in the next life and being prepared for that. And this is the time to prepare. I want to give you an opportunity today. You can be prepared and you can be ready. And your life can totally change by simply giving Jesus Christ the control of your life, surrendering it all to Him, and letting Him have ownership of your life. And when He's got ownership, let me tell you, everything changes. Listen, when we take care of His business, our business is His business, but then His business becomes our business. He takes care of us. He's concerned about our needs. He'll take care of you. But you got to surrender your life to Him. And here's what I want to do right now. If you're here today and you know that you need to prepare yourself, you need to be in the right position with Him. You know that your relationship is not what it should be. It may be that you have never come to Christ, or it may be that you've been a Christian, but you know that your relationship is not where it needs to be. Maybe intentional or unintentional, but you know it's not where it needs to be. I want to encourage you today to let me allow you to lead you in a prayer of commitment or recommitment, but just a prayer of surrender, of giving that to the Lord. And as I do, I want to ask today, if that's you, I'm not going to have you stand or come to the front or embarrass you, but right where you're seated while we bow in prayer, I want to ask you if you'll just slip up a hand and say, Pastor, when you pray that prayer, would you count me in? If you're here in this building or you're watching online, if you'll join us today. God bless you. God bless you. Yes. Answer. Amen. God bless you. Good job. Good job. If you're watching online, I encourage you to join with us. All you got to do is mean it. Let me just help you with the words. Can I have everybody just pray this out loud for support? Come on. Can we just pray this? Just say something like this from your heart. Say, today, Jesus, I surrender my life. Thank you for loving me, giving everything for me, giving your life so I could have life. Today, I surrender my life to you. I invite you to come in my heart. Change me. Make me a right person. I surrender everything. Come on, say it this way. I declare you as Lord and Savior of my life. Thank you for dying for me so I could live for you. I'm going to say this one more time. I give you my life. With all my heart, I'll follow you as you help me. Lord, I thank you for every person who just prayed that prayer, surrendering to you. God, I just pray your blessings over them. And I pray that day by day, step by step, you'll guide them, you'll lead them as they follow you. I pray you bless them, so that they'll be a blessing for others for eternity's sake. Thank you for your peace now that we know through the knowledge that you have forgiven all of yesterday. God, as we surrender our life to you, God, you take everything, you redeem it, you give us purpose, meaning, and fulfillment. And I thank you for the eternal hope we have in you. I pray now, God, help us as a church, Lord, to be rich in good deeds, to be rich in generosity, to make a difference and impact this world for eternity's sake and for everything accomplished. God, we give you all the credit. For it's in Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said amen.